It is May 14th, and stepping up to the plate for this edition of Chamber's Insight into the Economic Impact of the Coronavirus is Chris Steinecker. Chris, what's your walk up to the plate music?
Oh, gosh. It would have to be something like from the Grateful Dead. Oh. Something about maybe Here Comes Sunshine.
There you go.
Good to see you, buddy. It's Thursday. We are working the reopening efforts quite a bit. If you don't mind, I'd love to just start with the data, though, because I'm wanting to make sure my concerns are expressed a little bit about just where we're, you know, what's going on, and make sure everybody else does. So quickly, I'll just show you the data as it stands. What you see, what we're looking at each time are these two boxes. The 1.91% means over this last week, everybody tested, there was a 1.91% that were positive. That has continuously gone down. We used to have a cumulative average of 4.8, and it keeps going down. So what you're seeing is as we test more, we're finding that we're finding less people that are sick. But so that number is going down. However, having said that, look at this, Joe. This is the second day in a row that you and I have looked at this, and our 14-day average of new cases in Pinellas County alone is up to 14.6. So that number keeps increasing. So now we've got literally 4 days in a row where our number of 14-day average is starting to creep up. You and I talked about, like, if it starts creeping up back to this number, we have created ourselves, we're back to where we were a couple weeks ago as far as the amount of volume of people getting sick. When this number gets higher, this is why we worry about our hospitals. You don't want this number to go much higher, because then you'd be worried about the care of our community. So while we're seeing good trajectory as far as there's not a ton of people getting sick, there are enough percentages of it to say we're seeing a change. I'm seeing a change in the data, and we said we would start seeing that. We just didn't know how much of it. I'm putting ourselves on caution. I got to be honest with you. I'm telling our business community we've got to go slow. To the consumer that's watching, if you're not wearing a mask when you go out, please do so. If you're a business that doesn't want to put one on, please do so. We need to protect each other. We got to build trust in this community, and that's one way we're going to do it. So the numbers are what they are. There's something for us to be cautious of, but we still have too much to be excited about, too many positive things going on. Our hospitals are doing great. Testing's available wherever you go. The relief efforts will continue to resupply money. So I think, you know, overall, we have a positive story to tell. And so I want to keep going about this reopen. And you mentioned your terrible baseball analogy, but let's talk about it. You know, we've got Rays baseball and Rowdy soccer in St. Pete, and we haven't talked much about it. So I really thought it'd be a great chance to bring in Brian Auld, the president of both, and he can help us understand really what they've been up to this whole time. And there he is. Welcome, Brian Auld. How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you?
I didn't know if Joe actually hit the wrong button and called up Moses, because I know Joe has a direct contact with Moses, but you've grown yourself something there pretty good. I like that on you.
Yeah, haven't been doing a whole lot of grooming, and it's it appears to have modeled itself after a much older person's beard, but here I am.
I had no idea you were that old, but it makes you look wiser, though, so well done on that.
Nothing
Brian,
wrong
I can
with
tell you, it looks like you're calling from home. Tell us a little bit about what your life's been like these last 8 weeks, just completely getting shut down and being put in your house with the rest of us.
Yeah, well, we got three kids here, and getting through school is kind of priority number one every morning. So we work on that, try to get outdoors at least a couple times a day, and the weather's been phenomenal, which has certainly been a plus for all of us, I think. And then trying to maintain the Rays and Rowdies businesses to the best of our ability, given these, you know, incredibly odd, strange, and challenging times. The days have been pretty full. And it's been, it hasn't been easy by any stretch, but you know, there's been some fun sides to it also. Definitely getting to spend a lot more time with my kids and getting to experience all that has been pretty great.
Let's talk about that for just one second before we go for the other parts of it. What's it like to be able to have the education responsibilities? I don't have that. My kids are a little older, but that must be a just pure hard to really get in teaching mode every day. Are you guys in the groove on that now, or?
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, my prior job before coming to the Rays was as a fourth grade teacher, and my kids are 4, 6, and 8. So they're at the age where they do need some help going through it. And it's really been a lot of fun for me to get back to it, particularly during the time of year when often I'm not seeing a whole lot of the kids with the grueling demands of a home schedule. So being able to read to them at night, every night, and go through, you know, an hour plus a day with them on the homeschooling front's been fantastic. My wife's definitely doing more of it than I am, but it's still been a lot of fun. And you know, they're learning as well as they can. I want to give a plug to North Shore Elementary School. The teachers there have done an incredible job getting assignments out and providing help along the way and making sure that the kids aren't falling behind. So they've really done an outstanding job with that. Kudos to the whole public school system for rallying.
Yep. Well, what a blessing for your kids to have you there. Like you said, you're not around a lot this time of year, but also I'm sure you've got charts and all kinds of exercises, bringing out your old school teacher boxes in your basement there and resetting up your classroom for them. So I'm sure you're having fun with that as well. And it's good. You know, I think we're learning that from a lot of our folks that we're talking to is, while this has certainly been disruptive and we never want to go through it again, we've learned a lot about ourselves. And one of them is we like being home. We like being with our families. We know how much of a blessing that is. So maybe those will be lessons we carry with us as we get out of this as well. And it sounds like you've learned those as well. But you also learned a lot of other lessons. Now you got two major league teams, a soccer team and a baseball team, that are home based here in St. Pete. And they completely were about ready to get started and they shut down. You had to deal with a lot of things, but you guys kept giving some relief efforts. So just before we talk about the future, just talk about these last 8 weeks running two major league clubs.
Sure. Well, I mean, let me begin by just pointing out that I think sports did this nation an incredible service by shutting itself down. When Adam Silver did it with the NBA and then Major League Baseball and the NCAA tournament followed, I think that's really the point that I would suggest is when we started taking this virus seriously as a nation. And thank goodness we did that. And when you're relying on the owners of the businesses turning off their revenue spigots and literally shutting them off completely, you're talking about a pretty meaningful sacrifice. And I'm sure we all wish we'd done it a little bit earlier, but I'm very, very proud that it happened at all. And just grateful to the leaders who made those decisions to get us all to start dealing with what was in front of us. It's been, you know, an incredible challenge. We sent the staff home pretty early, tried to inform them of what we thought aggressive or extreme social distancing meant in the near term. And I think we all thought at that point we were talking about maybe 2-3 weeks. And obviously it's turned out to be a heck of a lot longer than that. And that part I think has been the most trying, is not knowing how long this is going to go and not knowing exactly what we should do. Our goal with our employees has been to provide just sort of as clear a guidance and instruction as you can. But it's not easy to do that. And the environment's not getting any simpler. And as we try to figure out how to open and what it's going to mean for all of us, it takes a lot of thought and consideration, and you don't want to be leading anybody astray.
I understand that. And so you guys were trying to figure out what this looked like and trying to figure out how to keep your employees safe, but you also reached out to help the community as the Rays and the Rowdies have always done. Mind bragging a little bit about just kind of how you guys saw your role in the relief efforts?
Yeah, well, you know, we have a foundation and our players contribute to it. Our ownership contributes to it. We raise money for it. And we've basically decided that we need to use it now. And if that means dipping a little bit into our resources and lowering the balance on that foundation during a time like this, we think it's completely appropriate. So what we did first was we set aside $1 million of the team's money to provide grants to part-time and seasonal employees who were no longer going to have work on account of the season being canceled. And that includes everybody from the guy hawking beer in the stands to our fan hosts and box office folks. And we are continuing to get those funds deployed and you know, up between $500 and $1,500 for each to make sure that they've got a little something because their jobs went away entirely. We've had to make some tough decisions on our own staffing front with furloughs and pay cuts, but we've tried to do so in a way that gives everybody enough notice to prepare for things and provide some certainty about what the future could look like, because our business is likely to be changed not just in 2020, but beyond that too. And we need to get ourselves prepared for that. And then with our foundation, you know, we've given $100,000 each to the city of St. Petersburg and Tampa's funds to support those in need. We've donated $250,000 and included part of that as a matching grant for Feeding Tampa Bay, nearly $500,000 raised through there. We're collecting food supplies in our parking lots, and our staff, like they always do, and I appreciate you saying that, has been really incredible and working really hard to do everything we can for those who are really suffering. And we see the lines at the food banks. I'm sure you do too. it's a time where those of us who are capable of assisting really need to dig deep and see what we can do. And so that's why we've approached it the way we have. Our foundation took hundreds of grant requests and made a whole slew of $5,000 donations recently as well. And I think when all is said and done, we'll have deployed well over $2 million into the community during this time.
Wow, Brian, that wow isn't impactful enough, but this is why we love the Rays and the Rowdies. This is why we're working really hard to make sure we never leave you guys, because you care. And it's not about the size of the money, but it's how you guys perceive what your role is and how you deploy what your role is. And you just show it. You know, we've been talking the last couple of weeks about the St. Pete way. You guys helped define it. You embody it. So I appreciate, I know everybody who's listening appreciates what you guys have just discussed there and what you guys have done. So thank you. But let's move on a little bit and go forward. Now, you know, you said one of your the hardest part for a lot of us was, is this ever going to end, or when is it? They say 30 days, 2 weeks, month, 3 months. Well, now we're starting to see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm starting to see headlines about Major League Baseball considering it, along with all the other sports, of different models, different of reimagining what they're going to do this season and going forward. Give us a sneak peek. What are you thinking about? What are you guys thinking you're hearing? Like, do you believe we'll see Rays baseball in St. Pete in 2020?
I certainly hope so. And we're going to do everything we can to make that happen. We're working very hard on it. Obviously, it goes without saying, the first issue is safety. We want to make sure that we are benefiting the community and the overall health system if we get this going. I do think there are big benefits to it. I know that if I had a Rays game to watch every day, it would make quarantine a heck of a lot better. And so I think there's a lot that we can do for the good of the game and the good of the country. And do what we do, which is provide a respite from challenging situations from time to time. You know, baseball's been there through all sorts of upheaval, and this is certainly a good case of that. And we want to get back up and going, but we've got to be sure we can do it safe. And so I think we're going to have to pay attention to testing protocols throughout the country. We're going to have to pay attention to what's going on in St. Petersburg specifically. And I know that you all are working really closely on that. And we got to work things out with all the players and operators and television stations to make sure we can go. If we do see it, I suspect it will be without fans in the stands. But we'll have plenty of eyeballs on our screens and hopefully we can get going. You likely saw that Blake Snell, in his unique and inimitable way, spoke about some of the challenges there are on the economics front. A whole lot of revenue has been sucked out of the system. And so to figure out how to put this on in a new situation is going to be a big challenge, but all the parties involved, I think, want to see it happen. They're going to work hard to make that happen. And I see no reason not to continue to hold on to my optimism while at the same time planning for what's going to be a challenging next few seasons to come. And that's the way the Rays look at things always, right? One eye on today, one eye on the future. And we're doing it no differently on that front than we ever have. You mentioned the Rowdies too. It's kind of the same thing. The Rowdies went up to New York, won for the first time in their history in New York against the Red Bulls. We're just off to an awesome start. We're so excited about it. The club had come together in a really wonderful way. And now we're just on pause there too. Although the guys are finally starting to work out at Al Lang again. I'm gonna check it out and stop by, doing it in a very safe, social distant manner. But sort of dipping our toes into what it may be like to ease back into some of these things.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I don't know how you guys try to figure that out. Cause we're talking about people, how they open their own offices, and I've got 17 employees in a small office, and just to even to do it at my level and get all the supplies and the sanitizers and everything, it's just it's overwhelming. So I don't know how you guys think about all the different kinds of personnel you have, even without the fan in the stands to deal with, all the logistics of that. And then all these issues, like Blake mentioned, is like, and I think Blake's comments were about just every employee's comments right now. It's like, wait a second, what is my value now? And what is the resources available? I think my employees are asking that. And I see your employees asking that, is like, hey, if I'm going back to work, what's the deal? And is it, and unfortunately in your situation, a lot of that union contract stuff, you guys can't renegotiate some of that, or you're going to have to. And so, but I think it's the struggle everyone's going through is, if I go back and if it's not safe, why am I going back for less money? All those kind of things. That's what America's dealing with right now, right?
It's safety first, right? And that's why I think the presentations I've seen you give on St. Pete's strategy are going to dictate what happens. And people are smart. If you tell them it's safe, but it's not, you're not going to open up the way that you want to. And so we've got to first and foremost make sure all of our players and staff and everybody involved feels genuinely safe in order to pull the games off. Otherwise, you can expect people not to show up. I think that's the same for eating at a restaurant or going to a movie or showing up at your offices. And so that's where the focus needs to be. The safer we can make people feel, the more we can get the virus under control, the more able we're going to be to get things running. And so baseball is absolutely dependent in the way I think all of our businesses are on what's going on in the rest of the world. And literally it's the world now. And so we'll be paying close attention to what's happening in our market and in other markets. And if the safety's there and the testing's there and we feel comfortable with it, we'll be able to proceed. And I certainly hope that that's the case. But it's a better safe than sorry situation for sure. And I think patience is the key word.
Well, I think so. The only, you know, I know it is, and building that trust back has got to go through slow process. And I'm so glad you're feeling the same way. But you know what is, we've talked to, Joe and I started this going, what people have time to now reimagine themselves. And you guys, you know, baseball itself has always been trying to figure out how to keep the consumer, attracting the consumer. So this might be a positive thing for you guys and Major League Baseball just to say, hey, now is the chance for us to really look at our experience and understand it, what the consumer might need from us. And maybe some of those old school changes, maybe now we make those because of the demand, or, you know, so there could be a reimagining of baseball in the race in the future, right?
Yeah, that was sort of that was the question I was going to ask is, you know, how are you thinking about changing the product, you know, even specifically for fanless, you know, fanless ballpark experience? Are there different things you can do with video, or different things you're going to bolt on or add into the watching experience?
Yeah, we want to get really creative with all of that. We've talked about everything from having TV screens behind home plate that you can zoom into and sort of watch live there, and maybe even shout through the volume, to just backdrops that make it a little more visually appealing. And everything in between. It'll depend a lot on our broadcast partners and how the league chooses to handle the issue across the board. But there's an opportunity to be really creative there. And to some of what you were saying, Chris, there's an opportunity to reimagine the way the games play. We don't know what the long-term impacts of this virus are going to be, or the understanding about how these things may affect really large gatherings. And I don't think it's any secret that the Rays have been trying to figure out what our next ballpark's going to look like and where it's going to be for some time. And you can imagine that maybe sizes are going to be changing, and maybe we can use this as an opportunity to think that part through. I certainly think a lot of people are getting really, really excited about the possibility of watching fewer games in a full season and not being able to attend in person. And that makes our Montreal sister city plan seem hopefully a little more appealing to those skeptics out there. So we are, just trying to do, I think, what every business is, which is take into account the impacts of the virus and how it's likely to affect us for the long term, and get ourselves in the best position to prepare for that. And in some ways, because of the relatively small size of our organization compared to some others and our current situation, we think we can be nimble in that front and try to create an opportunity from it. That's not to say that we're looking to be opportunistic by any means, just to be as positive as we can be as we think about what our business can do and how it can contribute to St. Petersburg and the greater area for the long haul.
Well, I appreciate the optimism, and I'm glad you came on today, Brian, because I think people need to hear that. What I hear from you is, hey, we're trying to figure it out, but rather safe than sorry, though. First, we're going to start safe, but there's opportunities. We love the Rays and we love our Rowdies, man. And so, like, just even know that you guys are trying to get back on the field, trying to produce a product for us. And I'd be okay watching it here at my house. So please keep pushing it that way so we can do it. But and also that opportunity just to maybe say, if models change, and you know that St. Pete and the Rays and the Rowdies will be forever friends for, you know, because of some of these changes too. So you just never know what's going to happen. But I see it as a positive. I also see a positive as you and I have, I've been a little frustrated with this part of our relationship, but you know, I throw a mean change up and that I can play second base. So this also probably is an opportunity to look for new talent around St. Pete, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm sure you can play a little goalie too while we got you there, Chris. Look, I think you said it, and I think we've always tried to live it as an organization, and you certainly have in your role at the Chamber. Like, one of the beautiful things about St. Pete is we're the right size where we can all be in this together, and I think that we're all doing that. And you're not seeing sort of the finger pointing around St. Petersburg that you're seeing in some other areas and the conflict around it. You're seeing everyone sort of doing the best they can, trying to follow the rules, while at the same time trying to get things going as soon as possible. And that's exactly where the Rays and Rowdies are. And we've always said, as goes the region, so will go our organization. And I'm really proud of the way we've come together and tried to navigate this, because, you know, stress levels are high. And I think that having leaders like yourself and the mayors in both St. Pete and Tampa sort of calmly advising people on what to do has been really, really valuable. And just encourage everyone to keep their spirits up. We will get through it. But we're going to have some patience.
Well, Brian, I appreciate it. This was well done. Thank you for coming on today. We're wishing you all the luck. I know there's a lot of folks ready to put their jerseys on and start rooting in front of the TV or wherever you send us. But good luck. Thank you for what you do for our community. Thanks for the Rays way and the Rowdies way, which is the St. Pete way. And you're caring for us. We care for you. Thanks. We appreciate it. We'll see you soon.
Thanks very much. You guys take care.
Great. Thank you, Joe.